But, yeah, and then Carlton were lucky to get over the line against the Kangaroos.
They were very lucky. I don't know what they put in the water at three-quarter time, but I think they must have leaked to their boots because they couldn't kick straight. Nine points.
And did Adam Simpson end up playing in his last game?
Yes.
Because there was some question marks.
Did all right, yeah.
That was a weird result, wasn't it?
Yeah, considering he had a calf injury that would have stopped him if he wasn't playing his final game. I think he played purely on the fact that he was playing his final game.
Well, the Kangaroos...
But he played well.
Where are they standing right at the moment?
They're struggling.
They're a little bit adrift, aren't they? Because, obviously, they've lost their coach in the middle of the season. He didn't see out the year, and they've found no suitable replacement as of yet. I mean, Richmond definitely...
They couldn't even attract the best available coach.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, they're not the most attractive job going.
Yeah. The Kangaroos couldn't get Nathan Buckley as their number one coach,
yep.
And he's picked up the assistant's coach at Collingwood. That doesn't paint a good picture for North Melbourne.
Yeah, but
if
someone's knocked back the coach's job for an assistant coach's job. As much as he's saying it's for his own career and that big 5-year plan, they've got to change the way football's going, which could be very successful. I mean, we've seen managers and coaches, but I reckon Buckley would probably be getting more money in that 5-year deal as an assistant coach.
And also more prestige.
More money than he would at North Melbourne.
And you'll learn a hell of a lot more.
And you get to work at Lexus Centre.
Yes.
So, I mean,
and he'll also be working with probably one of the better coaches in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. I can't see that as a problem. But it doesn't paint a good picture for North Melbourne that can't attract probably the best available coach when he's picked up an assistant's coach.
Now, this is the round 16 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show. You're tuned in to KC Radio 97.7 FM, the sound of the southeast. Big news for VFL, though, Jim. There's players coming back galore, isn't there?
Oh, Richo!
We get to, you're doing something here, are you?
Yeah, I was going to play. It didn't work. There we go. It's about the only time you hear it this week. Oh, we might hear it this weekend. We're playing Melbourne. We heard it last weekend.
There's been some big names come through the VFL in my time, but...
Brad Ottens is back.
Brad Ottens is going to play for Geelong, but in terms of big names, we've had Tony Lockett.
Buckley himself. We were just talking about him.
Yeah. Tony Lockett played.
Yeah, played on Brian Harris.
Who else? They're probably the two bigger names.
So
I don't think James...
You could not get any bigger than Tony Lockett. Prestige, size, he's kicked the most goals in the AFL by anybody in the history of the game.
He's
a man mountain.
Well, when Buckley played at Box Hill for Williamstown, they sold out of food by half time.
Yep, that was half time during the reserves, was it?
I hope Rhino and the guys are prepared because I can see a massive turnout at this afternoon's game.
Well, we can't get a parking spot there at the best of times. Now, we're going to have to virtually leave straight away so we can get there and get a parking spot near the ground. We might park on the freeway. It might be that busy.
That's definitely. Well, it's a situation where it could be a crowd of massive proportions. But, Brad Ottens will be returning in the early game this morning. They like to play their curtain raisers, don't they? The Geelong VFL side, they're playing at 10:40 down at Skilled Stadium against the Scorpions, who, you want to talk about a team on fire, they're just continuing to impress. It doesn't matter who's lining up for the KC team. They managed to handle 11 changes last week and get a victory. Yeah, so
last week's result was an absolute shock to me.
So, that is the game this afternoon. And also a big one on ABC TV this afternoon is North Ballarat versus Williamstown. Many... punters out there think this could be a preview of the grand final.
A couple of weeks ago, you would have said though both these teams would be going into this game absolute chock-a-block, full of confidence, having not lost a game in such a long time. They're both struggling to the line, aren't they?
The top three teams all lost last weekend.
Yep.
And we'll go through those results soon enough. I don't know if we've got any guests lined up for this morning?
I'm hoping to speak to Rhino.
Okay.
I've got Bryce checking him out. I didn't actually speak to him personally, but I did leave a message on his answering machine, and hopefully he listened to it. And
yeah, big day for the Kirkby Football Club. We've had our Rhino on.
Now, WBC broadcasting today?
No, they haven't
today?
Got a broadcast.
Okay, because I did mention that on the message I gave Rhino to make sure that if they are broadcasting, that both radio stations accommodated to the best of their ability. Because there's a bit of a squeeze sometimes at the ABD Stadium. Is that correct, ABD Stadium?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for 3WBC. They didn't get to broadcast this game because it's going to be a...
I hope it wasn't for it. Wasn't because we were there.
It is, yeah.
Is that the sole reason?
They don't have another broadcast position at Coburg.
Okay. Well, would have been better if they broadcast the game, right?
We're the big dogs when it comes. We don't have a choice because the ABC game is up in North Ballarat.
But what I meant is because they do solely Box Hill games, it probably would have been better for...
I think, like me and you, would have been happy with the day off.
I would have been happy with the day off. I still would have been coming in here to do this program, but I would have been happy to... you know, go home and watch the ABC game and then flick over to the AFL.
But, so we'll be out there for Coburg versus Box Hill. And then on Sunday, the battle of the standalone teams, Frankston and Port Melbourne. The Northern Bullants, Carlton versus Collingwood. That's going to be at NAB Oval. And that's our broadcast game tomorrow afternoon.
Yep. And confirmed with Gary O'Sullivan that we will be there.
And
are you going to be there?
I got the day off. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Sunday off.
It's going to make it interesting. I've got to get the equipment from the car to the ground by myself.
No, we'll arrange it that the boys meet you at the gate, Jim, so you won't have to soldier that by yourself. But no, we'll be out there at NAB Oval.
Actually, I could organise it if there's anyone at the...
If anybody tuning into the broadcast wants to help Jim get the equipment inside the ground at NAB Oval tomorrow, just... look for a blue Ford arriving at about midday.
Yep.
And then the other game on Sunday is the Bendigo Bombers versus the Zebras. What we might do is take our first short ad break here on the VFL Footy Show.
Just hold on a sec. I haven't got anything set up. So.
I need to print off last week's results. That's where we'll kick off and go through round 15, which saw the three top teams all go down in shock losses. Box Hill Hawks coming back from nowhere. Stanger. We haven't seen much of the Box Hill Hawks. It will be our broadcast game this afternoon. If you're tuning in out there at Boronia, give us a call in the ad break and we'll put you on to discuss the Box Hill Hawks, who, like the Casey Scorpions, definitely the improved sides of 2009. Now, we're just going to get your take on the whole Carmichael Hunt situation.
It's a publicity stunt at best. Whether or not he makes it into the AFL, I mean, fair enough. He's going to be playing with the Gold Coast Cougars or whatever they want to call themselves.
Gold Coast Beach Bums.
Yeah, whatever. And Gold Coast Schoolies or whatever. That's all he's going to be doing. He's not going to be playing for like a Collingwood or a Richmond, Melbourne or whatever you want.
He's only 22.
He's got a long way to go. He's going to be a big body.
You've seen how dramatically an Irish player can come with no ideas on the game. Mike Pike from Canada has reverted in a 6-month transition.
That's what I asked yesterday. Where is Mike Pike in all this? He's played rugby, whether it be rugby union, rugby league, or whatever. It's still rugby. He would have come from Canada. I don't know when he came to Australia or first exposed to Australian rules football, but he seems to have been absolutely forgotten in all this, that he's actually played international rugby and has converted to AFL football.
Well, I'm probably in a better position to actually comment about the individual himself, because I watch a little bit more rugby league than yourself, Jim.
I've watched nothing of it.
Carmichael Hunt would be up there in probably the top five fullbacks in rugby league. And the fullback position, well, basically they have to... they have to monitor the whole field. They do more running than anybody. They have to backtrack to get the long balls that are kicked in when they go for space. But they also have to watch the defence pretty strongly and have to move in different positions, not so much just straight up and down like some of the front rowers or or the back rowers who just, you know, who run for yards. Carmichael Hunt does have the moves. And
now, is he the one who catches the ball or kicks
it? He can catch it, yep. Yep. He's not in the same elk as player you may have heard of, Israel Folau, who was in Melbourne and learnt to mark the football in AFL practice. But
Now, I have to say, my knowledge of the sport of rugby is zero.
Well, I'm going to say that...
I know nothing of it. I don't know the rules, don't know the players.
Carmichael Hunt will play at centre-half back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can... Where his disposal won't be at a crucial point. They're going to have other people obviously feeding off him. But, he's going to test many...
Now, what type of player would he be? Would he be a Gilby? Or a Presta Giacomo?
No, he's going to revolutionise
the game. Or a Brendan Goddard? Is there a...
Goddard with more physical attributes in the contest. He'd be in the top 10% of actual physical players.
So is there any danger of him, like, giving away unnecessary free kicks?
Well, he averages 23 tackles a game, which isn't a stat you can relate to football because...
Because they don't do that.
No. Yeah. And sometimes tackles in rugby league, you can be third man into it and get paid a tackle, but it's going to be his ability to actually...
They can tackle around the neck, can't they?
Oh, they get away with it.
Yeah.
But
it's not a part of the rule. It's not a penalised mistake. We're in Australia rules. You can tackle and get a free kick against you because you accidentally, grabbed him around the shoulders that went to the neck.
I can see him having the same presence as Elwyn Davey does, but I can't see him playing forward of the ball because he'll have the closing speed to really shut down the opposition. Now, but it opens...
Could he play the Paul Williams-type role, picking up 23, 24 possessions in the back line and delivering it to a taller player,
I can see him playing on someone like Jonathan Brown. Maybe not in the first 12 months, but if he's serious about it with the proper education, he's got the physical attributes to go one-on-one with the Gorillas.
He's 188 centimetres, 94 kilos. Is he going to be big enough to match up with bigger bodies? If Anthony Rock is still around in 2 years' time, or Jonathan Brown, if he's still doing the same role as he does today, Matthew Pavlich, that type, because he's going to be matching up on these type of players. He's going to be giving them 6 centimetres, which is a lot of height, and he's also going to be giving them 6 or 7 years head start in experience.
But I would see how his disposal is before you can really rate him, because a couple of those highlights, he didn't seem to kick the football too good, but you can't read much from that. That could have just been one
But I've seen you kick the ball, and he's probably at the same standard as we are. I can only kick the ball about 30 metres at best, so, he's got room to learn. So in 2 years time, actually next year, we could be seeing him playing in the VFL.
Yeah, we get the call Special K, but...
Now,
the VFL have come out on the front foot and started advertising their grand final extravaganza. September 25 at Etihad Stadium. Tickets are $20, which includes both the VFL and the TAC Cup deciders.
Yep, if they get the doors open in time.
So make sure you jump on to aflvic.com.au for updates as they build up to the VFL and TAC Cup continues. They actually sold tickets at Ticket Tech last time, and it was a pretty reasonable turnout. So that's going to be... It's been announced. And trying to see if they've got any halftime entertainment. Can't see it there yet. Jessica Mowboy was a highlight of 2009 for us, wasn't she?
Entertainment at the EJ Witness. There's more of entertainment for the people that are there before they open the gates. Because that's when we really heard her singing in full voice.
Now, round 15 has been run and won. And as I mentioned going into the break, the top three teams all suffered a loss. And you'd say the games that we saw were both pretty one-sided last weekend, Jim. And the broadcast game on Saturday afternoon, we went to Windy Hill, the first time back there for a while. And at three-quarter time, I thought the Bendigo Bombers had really rallied to put some pressure.
They kicked with the wind, didn't they? Or
in the final quarter?
In the final quarter, or had a little bit of the wind.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a breeze there last weekend. But they only kicked 3 points, and... just the lack of pressure provided by the Bendigo Bombers, and examples like players hand-passing to each other 3 or 4 times inside forward 50 and setting up goals. And that was for the Bulldogs, just running all over the Bendigo Bombers. They lost young Zaharakis, and that was the end of the Bendigo Bombers. They couldn't keep up. Northern Bulldogs, 22 goals, 12, 144. Their win puts them right in amongst it for the top four now, the Northern Bulldogs. They're up and down, the yo-yos of 2009. Defeated the Bendigo Bombers 10-10-70. Werribee Tigers, on the battle of the North Melbourne alignments, the Tigers came out in front. And if you're Simon Atkins,
he
would have the toughest job going at the moment. Considering
we'd written Werribee off 2 weeks ago. Now they're back in it. They're probably going to struggle to make the eight if they've got any chance at all.
And they can only blame themselves. They were in a winning position against Port Melbourne, and then they lost the next week against Frankston.
Yeah.
And you're in a game of winning football.
North Ballarat, so they've gone from chocolates to boiled lollies.
We were
no,
North
the other
Ballarat.
Way around. They've gone from boiled lollies to chocolates.
Where's North Ballarat? 7 goals, 12-54, the Roosters, against the Tigers, 11-15-81.
Yeah, so three-quarter time, even if you caught the game off at three-quarter time, the mercy rule, you would have been, if there was such thing as the mercy rule, they could have called it off at three-quarter time. And that's probably why they don't have the mercy rule.
Now, Casey Scorpions, that was the ABC game.
Yep, they should have called this game off before the game started with the amount of changes that were made. And, I tell you what, Casey Scorpions were very, very good.
I think when you go through the better players for the Casey Scorpions as well, which is really the promising light there for that football club, because, there's been questions over their depth and just how far can the Casey Scorpions go. Well, they sit in second position now on percentage over North Ballarat and Port Melbourne. We spoke to Peter German last weekend, and, even he was going in with a great unknown. He didn't know what to expect out there on Saturday. Their best players for the Scorpions last weekend: McCready, Stockdale, we mentioned Folks, Collins, Waite, and the Great Wall. Those players there, not one Melbourne-listed player. And I'll go through the best for Coburg: Alex Rance, Shane Tark, Mark Coughlin, Graham Pollack, Liddell and Horn. They're four players, it's Rance, but Tuck, Coughlin and Pollack, 10-year experienced footballers there, so great effort by the Casey Scorpions. 9 wins, I don't know how many they've had in a row now, but they're on a...
They've won 6 out of their last 7.
They're on an absolute winning streak at the moment, the Casey Scorpions, and I don't know what
six of the last 7.
I don't know what they're playing on Sportsbet, but if you wanted to have a little bit of a dabble, because they're going to go in with a pretty much unchanged lineup going through the finals, because Melbourne won't be there. No. Teams like Williamstown and maybe the Northern Bulldogs.
Port Melbourne will be at full strength,
Melbourne will be at full strength, but a couple of those teams might have a couple of question marks over selections.
Yeah. But you assume Casey will be better than full strength, because they'll have all their Melbourne players that are qualified. They'll be playing, unless they've retired, of course, or they've been put out for surgery. They should be available for the finals. Because actually, Melbourne have been very good to their VFL alignment clubs. Most of their players have played during the finals.
Well, if you think about where what we were talking about in round one about the alignments and where the future was, you'd be tickle pink at the moment if you're following the Casey Scorpions. And if you are in the local area, go out there and watch them. They're playing football.
Yeah, not today, though, because they're playing at Geelong in about an hour's time.
No, but just get out there and support your local football club, because they're doing some wonderful things. Ben Wade's a local footballer, kicked 4 goals, so get out there. The Sandringham,
I think Stockdale's a local too, isn't he?
Yeah, he came second.
Nary Warren?
That's Scanlon.
Okay.
Stockdale
Scanlon.
He came from Gippsland Power, got second in their best and fairest last year, and hasn't done a foot wrong since arriving at Casey Fields, but the Zebras, 15-15-105, defeated Williamstown, 11-13-79. This game, the big news story of this one, was Luke Ball had over 30 possessions.
And still couldn't get back.
I didn't think he did enough to get back. Yeah, he spent some time on the bench. He didn't look fit. He couldn't break tags. He wasn't running the line. Yeah, he got a lot of in and under football. Mm. But if you're a talented in and under player, you're bound to get a few clearances, because, unfortunately, The way the midfields are going at the moment, they've seemed to drop away a little bit. You don't see as many quality kids coming through battling in and under the packs. You've got a couple of kids like Barlow and Sammy Dwyer and stuff like that are playing well in the midfield, but they're not your in and under types like your Shane Valentis or Sam Mitchell, the extractor. So there's no one really going in there and punishing the clearances. So it allowed Luke Ball into the contest, but yep, they were too strong. Sautner kicked 5 goals to go to 62 goals for the season, and that was a strong performance by Sandringham, who keep their light on for the finals, don't they? They're now 6-7. They've had their 2 buys. They've got a great percentage of 117.92. So the Cats are really under some pressure because they're giving away over 20% in percentage points there. So Box Hill, well, in a low scoring game but highly entertaining from all reports, Box Hill 9 goals 20-74 defeated the Port Melbourne side 9-12-66. So you know, Port Melbourne are in front by 16 points at the last change, but once again, a strong last quarter, and led by Stevie Kenner. Fantastic effort. So Box Hill, now they're 8-6, and they're now pretty much comfortable. They're not, say, home in the finals race yet, Jim, but they are one game clear of Collingwood and Geelong, who are on 7 wins. So at round 15, let's go through the ladder. It's Williamstown on 11 wins, followed by the Casey Scorpions, North Ballarat and Port Melbourne. The Scorpions still have to have their bye, which we must consider, and so do Williamstown in that mix-up there of teams. So that's the top four. And then outside that is the Northern Bullants and the Box Hill Hawks, both on 8 wins. Collingwood and Geelong with 7. Sandringham, Coburg, who are desperate for a win this afternoon, they have 6 wins. And Werribee, 5. Frankston, well, they've had they had the weekend off last weekend, but they have 2 wins now and looking to finish off the season in a respectable way. And the Bendigo Bombers, well, from what I saw in that last quarter, I can't see them responding too well this week, and they're going to go down and pull the curtains on that football club. The goal kickers, well, Sautner, can he get to 100? He's got 5 games to go.
Needs an average of 7.
And he's on 62 goals for the season.
Average of more than 7.
James Podsiadly on 54. Matthew Little out injured with 45. Patrick Rose, 35 goals for the season. Nathan Thompson and Chris Bryan on 31 goals apiece. While we're going through the results of last weekend, we're starting to Moz teams, Jimbo.
We are.
The Williamstown reserve side, we thought they were
home and hosed.
Home and hosed.
They were going to go through the season undefeated. No one can get within a bull's roar. They'd already penciled in Williamstown on the engraved on the cup.
Well, they've lost 2 in a row.
Yep.
And they were never in the contest. At quarter time, it was Sandringham 4 points, Williamstown 3 points. And we got there and we thought Williamstown were going to surge. But obviously, with Galea out of that forward line, they're a little bit exposed in the reserve comp because they've lost 2 in a row. Lost to Williamstown, lost to Sandringham last weekend. So,
yep. I don't know if we mozzed one of the Sandringham ruckmen or forwards, but there was a guy who received a handball in front of goal, ran into an open goal, and I think from a metre out, he sprayed it to the left, our left to his right.
That was definitely a disappointing result for that.
And the poor guy, felt sorry for him, but, you know.
He's only a young fella. Yeah, but,
I mean, to be that close to goal and miss it, and he was...
What did he do after it, though, Jim, that I pointed out to you?
He hung his head.
And no, he ran away from inside forward 50.
He ran into the middle of the ground. Yes. But he also hung his head and... it's very disappointing when you see players like that, you know, because he should have just gone in and dribbled the ball over the line and said, thank you very much, there's a goal for me. But he blazed away and sprayed it, unfortunately.
Congratulations to the Box Hill Football Club. They've unveiled a fantastic new facility out there. We haven't been there and I can't see us going there anytime soon, but it does look like maybe they have a second broadcast position now. We can go to Box Hill games again, but fantastic rooms, looks great, and it has 2 function rooms, one fitting 170 people and a smaller one for 60, commercial size kitchen, so there's going to be plenty of catering and other facilities available to the people, so that's a great initiative by the Box Hill Football Club, and they've always been looking to develop that site, and it's good to see that they have. Soon they mightn't even have any green or grass. It might just all be grandstands and places to sit and eat. So looks good out there at Box Hill City Oval.
Yeah, I don't know about Box Hill. Not the ground, but the city itself. I think they've got a no drinking policy. I don't think they got. You can't drink alcohol within the city of Box Hill. So I don't know.
It is a dry area, but I think there's no. I think that doesn't apply to the football club. Mm-hmm. I've seen plenty of people consume alcohol.
So
have I.
So I'm not. I'm not.
It's dry area in terms of having any licensed premises.
Yeah. So the Box Hill Football Club is exempt from that, is it?
They probably have some sort of.
Because you couldn't go. I can't ever remember going to the football where I haven't seen people drinking.
Yeah, it's quite a common place, isn't it, Jimbo?
Yep.
Got some VFL news to quickly wrap up here. As we commentated against Port Melbourne, Bendigo bomber Stacey Fisk has suffered a depressed fracture of the cheekbone and won't play again for the rest of the season. So, after he was collected by Nathan Batsanis, he didn't look good at all, did he? And unfortunately for that young fella, he won't be playing football again in 2009.
Hopefully we'll see him back next year. Well, he's only young, isn't he?
He's the only young, yeah, yep. Definitely. Wonder where he'll get a game, though, Jim.
Oh, don't know. Maybe in the local Bendigo competition. I don't know if Bendigo are coming back. We haven't heard anything official.
Now, they've made some... I think they've made this official, so we'll go with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're around 18... sorry, I think it's... Is it around 18? On August 18, when it's around 18, I think. The VFL goes to Gippsland, where the KC Scorpions will be taking on North Ballarat at Morwell. It's an ABC game, so it'll be on at 1 o'clock. What time will North Ballarat have to leave Friday night? Be impossible.
It's a long way to go from North Ballarat.
Be impossible.
It's a long way to go from Cranbourne, is it? So.
Well, it's a long way to go. It is a long way.
Yeah, it's a good hour and 20 minutes, I suppose, from Cranbourne,
so
or from Berwick.
Three or four hours to North.
So allow 2 hours from this side of town, allow another hour and a half to get here. So they're going to have to leave at, 4 hours before to allow them to get to the ground and have plenty of time to get ready.
But is too much of a good thing too much? The KC Scorpions will be the most team played on ABC TV.
Mm-hmm.
This Morwell fixture means the Scorpions will have played before the ABC cameras five times out of the seven rounds. By the final round, they would have been on TV seven times.
Yep, and so, during the finals, if they keep winning, will be another three or four times.
So, obviously, the ABC are onto a good thing here, the KC Scorpions.
So, could the KC Scorpions have the...
It feels like we've hardly broadcast them this year because of the ABC.
Yep, could have Scorpions TV.
Yeah.
Could have, our 8 cents worth.
Now, not for the effort of... VFL Football Operations Manager John Hook. They tried to get the under-23 match down and underway and back up and going again.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that North and South?
North and South, yep.
Yep.
But Hook said out of the 8 AFL clubs and only 3 from Melbourne have got back to him about the fixture.
That's disappointing.
So 3 clubs from Melbourne.
That's disappointing.
The interstate clubs... are onto it. They're wanting to get their recruiters over here and have a look.
Yep.
We know a couple of AFL recruiters personally, Jim, and
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a slight dent in where the VFL actually stands in the eyes of the AFL. I mean, I could go through half a dozen players under the age of 23. I mean, Marcus Mrugliani's only 23. You know, there's plenty of good footballers in the VFL at that age group that should be playing given an opportunity to show their wares and put themselves right amongst some of the recruiters. So that's not good.
Maybe they should play the under 23s against the TAC team of the year and see what happens.
Well,
you might find the under 23s win comfortably.
I don't know what they're supposed to do. The AFL Victoria, they're trying to get a good thing going. We've seen many players get drafted. They're trying to give some of those players an opportunity once again. But no, it is no good at all. 3 teams in Melbourne.
That's disappointing.
That means, I wonder what 3 teams they were, because every team's got an alignment in the VFL.
It was probably the Port Melbourne, Geelong, and Collingwood.
So
probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. What's
Well, Collingwood wouldn't have... been too particularly concerned anyway, because very few of their players would have been involved. Port Melbourne obviously would have been involved because they have a standalone team. I don't know.
And talking of Collingwood, Jim, good segue there. It's been announced through the week and official that Collingwood VFL will be playing football at Victoria Park. Yep. It's been talked Great about, moment. And I thought it was already confirmed.
I thought we were going to do it this year.
Yeah. Yep. But it's been endorsed by the Yarra Council on Tuesday. And when was the last game played at Victoria Park? Bit of trivia for you.
I reckon about 2003.
Round 22, 1999.
Oh, was it that long ago?
It was, yep. 10-year okay. anniversary. And, they'll be moving out there to Victoria Park. I think it's great that we can take suburban football back to... we saw a fantastic crowd and full of atmosphere and excitement on Saturday afternoon down there at Windy Hill between the Bendigo Bombers and the Bull Ants. Now, there's some talk that a team like the Northern Bull Ants might become the Northern Blues. It's very hard to say it, but unfortunately, I don't know where the competition's heading down that path because many of the big crowds are AFL alignment teams when their supporters come down wearing the Melbourne gear or the Richmond gear, the Carlton gear and the Carlton Essendon gear. So I don't know where it's all going to go at the moment. If more clubs go standalone, you might see more of these alignments become more heavily relied on their AFL partnerships for survival and getting crowds through the gates. Yep.
If it's a financial incentive as well, I can't see any problem with it. The lineman club will be probably found disappeared into the past.